song to one of my favorite shows on television, The Amazing Race, which is coming back next month with its all-new family edition. That'll be the 8th season of The Amazing Race. Joining me here in the KMOX studio this afternoon are two people who were part of the 7th season of The Amazing Race. They made it all the way to 4th place. They were, and I hope they don't mind me saying this, the oldest couple to go that far in the race. Their names are Gretchen and Meredith, and they are here in the studio today and did not have to race across town or take a cab or give instructions to anybody to find the place. Welcome to KMOX.
We're glad to be here.
We're happy to be here. What a joy to get here a normal way.
How long ago did you finish the race?
We were finished just before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And then you had to wait months to see yourselves. And, of course, you knew what was happening, and you knew where you ended up. But there's a strict code of secrecy, isn't there?
Absolutely. And we had no idea that the race was going to look as it did when it finally aired. We were totally in awe and in amazement.
Did it look better than you thought it was as you were racing?
I think they edited it pretty close to character. They really did. In the beginning, we thought it was going to be centered on just one couple.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rob and Amber.
The Rob and Amber show.
The Romber show.
Yes, but as the time went on, there was more of us, and, mm-hmm. and we were very pleased.
Well, that happens when you almost crack your skull open in a cave, Gretchen.
That's right. I did that purposely just to get the attention. We weren't getting enough footage, and I said, I have to do something desperate.
So Rob actually said that he felt it was me that pushed you in the cave to get the sympathy vote.
He accused Meredith of being a con man and pushing me in that cave. Maybe he had it figured out right, Meredith.
Maybe he did. How is your head, by the way? All healed up? No problem?
My head is fine, although I'm sure I had delayed brain damage when I climbed up in that elephant.
Well, you know, you said Meredith pushed you, or Rob claimed he pushed you. He actually did push you. For those who watched The Amazing Race, there was a race, I think it was in India at that point, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
One of the tasks that they had to perform was pushing a wooden elephant. On
it was a 600-pound teak elephant on
wheels.
Iron wheels,
mm-hmm.
and there was no steering mechanism. So if you needed to turn it, you had to physically pull the elephant sideways to get it to go in the direction you wanted it to go.
Mm-hmm. Only our elephant had a bad elephant, as I said many times. One of our wheels was broken, so Meredith had to do that.
Well, of course, Meredith had to do that. You were on top of the elephant, Gretchen. What were you thinking?
I was told to do it by an Indian man, and I do what I'm told to do. He said, get up on the elephant, and I said, okay. I guess they use them for ceremonies, and someone gets up there, and what did he know? He saw some crazy people running around with backpacks, so he said, get up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't really get down because I looked off to the side, and I saw one of our security men way up in the crowd, and he shook his head no. So I said to Meredith, either he was afraid that I would crack my head again because it was a long way down, or else it made good television. I don't know what, but I've not been able to live it down.
Did it not make good television?
Well, it absolutely made good television, yes. Most of The Amazing Race is good television inherently, and the people who are involved in it, who are cast on the show, like the two of you, make it even better television, and you certainly did that this past year. I got to ask you about the security thing because this is part of the back behind-the-scenes stuff that mm-hmm. we don't know about, and since you've been there, fill me in on this. As you're doing the race, it looks like you're out there alone, but of course you're not. There's a camera guy, there's a sound guy, and security guys following you everywhere?
Well, no one sees them. I'm sure it's not a big, it's not published,
mm-hmm.
but of course they have to have people who are in security that are going to be following along the race. That's why we felt so secure, because when I fell down that cave, the first one to come down there after me was one of our security people, and very well trained, and we just never thought about being in danger anywhere.
We had ex-Delta Force people there who really knew their business, so we felt perfectly secure wherever we went.
Were there times where you thought we may need these guys?
Only when we screwed up ourselves, we wish they'd step in and help us a little bit, but of course no one would,
mm-hmm.
and we did that a couple times.
No,
we never ran into a situation like
that. I'll tell
you,
that show is so well orchestrated and so perfectly designed
produced
that there is no cause for concern. They wouldn't take us someplace that would be that dangerous.
Because there was one team a couple of years ago that got involved, and I don't remember where it was, in Africa or Asia or Europe or where it was, that they got off the beaten path and ended up in some town, and the security people had to come in and work with the local cops or something to extricate them. You remember that?
Oh, that was Cullen, and he got wouldn't pay his cab fare, and so they took him to jail, to the jail, and I think they had to come in and get him out of that. But we were all good people on our show. We didn't violate the law, Annie.
But there were places that we couldn't fly over. In other words, when we were given a destination, that was our next stop, next pit stop, we were told that you may not fly over Colombia, for instance.
Certain countries.
And so you had to stay on certain air routes as well as certain ground routes.
Did you have to figure that out, or was that kind of inherent in what was happening with the airlines already?
That was told in our clues and in our instructions. You have to. Your next stop is Santiago, Chile. You may not fly over such and such countries. So when we were trying to make our plane reservations, we knew that we couldn't book through those countries. In other words, it wasn't fly over them, but fly through
you
them.
You can't connect through Bogota.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
places
they
like
don't
that.
Want us to get
but
in any trouble like that.
But they
didn't
want us in certain airspace as well.
Wow.
I don't.
Speaking of booking airline tickets, again, when we're watching the show, it looks like all you got to do is go and get two tickets because there's two contestants. But you actually got all these people traveling with you, so what do you do with limited space? It's not really just the two of you, is it?
It's four of us.
It's four of us.
And when we would buy our tickets, we were trained to ask for two tickets. And as soon as we had gotten our tickets, then we would have to say, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. We really need four.
Uh-huh.
That part would be edited out.
But in any mode of transportation, we had to figure out four of us. And like when we were going to those boxes, those darn old metal boxes in India that I had to look in for a clue, there was no mode of transportation in Lucknow, which Meredith and I called Out of Lucknow because that was a pretty – that's how the show went. We had to take a horse little carriage with only two people in it, so our crew had to follow behind us. And you always have to stay within range of your camera crew. And we lost them. I turned around and they were gone. And
now, wait a second. Why is that not their fault?
It wasn't our fault.
It wasn't ours, but still, we had to pull over to the side and wait about 20 minutes until they could find us.
You agreed to keep those camera crew within range, as Gretchen says. And we were explained, they are your children. And you must take care of them. Don't lose your children.
How come you're not the children and they're the parents who have to keep an eye on you? I mean, that's they're behind. They're the
At
ones
our
with
age,
their camera.
Do you think anyone would buy into that?
The man makes a valid point. Well, I told you before we went on, we've had Phil Kogan, the host of the show, on many times, and Brian and Greg, who were on the show with you, the boys from Ellisville, who now live in Santa Monica, California, the brothers who had a little incident in Africa where their Jeep flipped over. And tell me, first of all, what it was from your perspective, and then I'll ask the Robin Amber question that everybody wants to know the answer to. So from your perspective, tell me about that moment in the show.
Well, as you're driving at the breakneck speed, at least it seems that way, because, of course, you're trying to get to the pit stop before you're going to be last. You have all kinds of considerations, one of which is to keep your wheels within the ruts of the track, because outside is nothing but pure sand. And so we knew what had happened when we saw that 4x4 upside down. What had happened was they'd gotten a wheel outside, turned sharply, and went rolling. When we came to the scene of the accident, we pulled over. I was driving. We pulled over and attempted to get out to help, and we were waved on. What we saw after the show was that Rob and Amber continued on without any intention to stop. The comment was, this is a race and it's too bad. They had some bad luck, but we're not going to lose any time stopping there.
And then they got to the mat first on that leg, am I right?
Yes, they did, because we were heading to our next thing, which was pounding the corn into flour, and they chose the easier one, which... the ostrich eggs and water. We always chose the hardest ones. I don't know why we did that. But anyway, they did come in first, as they did many, many times.
Now, there were still several teams left in the race at that point. What was the buzz amongst the non-Robin Amber teams about the Robin Amber team?
Well, they were all, everyone was trying to get us to comment about them, and we really didn't want to be depicted, Meredith and I, as being sore losers or whatever, if we were going to be. So we said as little as we could about it. We'd just say we didn't think it was fair that they were on the show, because we felt they had a heads up on us, having been on Survivor. They knew how the cameras worked and the procedures were, and that's about all they could get out of us at that time. But after we saw the show and saw the things that he did that we thought were accidents, like the bus door being locked when he paid the guy to keep them locked.
Or taking somebody's cab away.
Taking their cab away. And
taking the wrong conveyance to the next destination.
Right,
which
he did.
There's a number of things that happened.
And, mm-hmm. and hearing the things, the wonderful things he had to say about us, we just kind of dropped our guard now, and we say what we want to say.
Mm-hmm. So say what you want to say.
Oh, no.
Wait a second. You just said I dropped my guard and say what I want to say. Come on, Gretchen. Here's a microphone.
Spit
Let's
it out,
hear
Gretchen.
It.
Gretchen,
well,
your
you
chance.
Know what? He was a smart player. He was savvy. He did not have to use that trash talk that he used about us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had respect for every team that we were racing against.
This is not dropping your guard. I'm going to Meredith for his answer
go
here.
Go ahead, Meredith.
What did you think of him?
We didn't like him.
I echo what Gretchen has to say. I think some of what came out of the man's mouth is in a effort to attribute some of those things about himself to someone else, to push it over on someone else, like his comment about being a con man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never thought of myself as being a con man. We never asked for any slack because of our age. We played the game as well as we knew how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that we did it with honor and dignity.
Yeah, but there must have been hundreds of times on this race where you're thinking, stinking freaking Robin Amber.
Well, especially,
that's Robin Amber!
Especially when they always came in first and always got the prize.
Yeah.
You
guys were last and had no clothes and money, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Gretchen and Meredith Smith, who were on The Amazing Race 7, and I'm happy to have them here because I'm such a huge fan of the show. We'll talk about some other stuff that they're involved in and more about The Amazing Race in just a moment. It's the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. It's the Paul Harris Show. In the studio today with Meredith and Gretchen Smith, who were on The Amazing Race 7, came in fourth. Thousands, and in fact, tens of thousands of miles around the world to come in fourth. And what do you get for fourth place? I know first place is $1 million. Is there a decent sized check for fourth place?
Not very decent, but it was all right. It was better than nothing. And like I said on the last episode I was on, that we had $1 million worth of memories, and we really did. We would have done it for nothing.
What you're saying is you can't tell me how much they paid you.
Well, it's not really that much. I think they pay enough to cover your expenses, because there are some expenses associated with getting ready for the race, mm-hmm. and those things that happen after the race. So,
you guys had a fantastic time. It was evident during the show that you were really, really enjoying it. But having all your money and your clothes taken away, which was a new thing they did every time somebody got to the pit stop, whoever came in last, if it was a non-elimination round, you had to hand over all your cash and your bags. You guys suffered this. Was it just once, or was it twice?
Once.
No, we suffered it only once, and until this, the Amazing Race 7, they had never taken the bags away. We were the first couple to ever lose both the backpack and the money.
Mm-hmm.
The money situation wasn't all that difficult to get past, because we had watched other racers in past seasons beg for enough money to get to the next pit stop. But in this case, when our backpack went with it, that was devastating.
Mm.
If you remember the show, when he said, you've lost your backpack, everything but the clothes on your back and your passports, both of us looked down at the clothes we had.
See what we were wearing.
Because what we were wearing was the dirtiest, filthiest, and in her case, bloodiest clothes you can imagine.
Because she had banged her head up on that episode.
In the, in the caves, right.
So
it was pretty devastating.
When you say they take everything away, were the personal belongings that you may have been carrying with you?
Everything.
We didn't have a toothbrush. We didn't have a razor. We didn't have...
a comb.
She didn't have a change of underwear. Nothing to sleep in.
Wow.
Yep. Everything but what we had on our back. And had we known, we would have put jackets on and everything. But we had no idea. They had never done this before.
Well, that was one of the funny things with Brian and Greg. When they did get eliminated, rather than stuffing themselves into extra clothes, they decided, you know what? If this is one of those things, we're going to go out with fun. And they put on weird hats and stripped down to their Speedos, right?
Exactly. That was the best. That really was.
I love them for that.
As I recall, Uchenna and Joyce helped you guys out with some clothes.
Well,
they did.
Uchenna and Kelly, we had come back after spending an hour to go across town to get 8 stitches in my head. Coming back, you know, we're losing time from our sleep. We know we can go on the next morning, but an hour back, an hour at the pharmacy, and all we wanted was a hot shower. We were just filthy from the caves.
Mm-hmm.
No hot water in the hotel.
Mm.
So.
And no wake-up service.
No wake. And our clock was gone. Our little
travel clock was gone.
Oh.
So I'm lying in bed with just a sheet over me, and Meredith's trying to talk to me about how we're going to do this the next morning. I think we had to leave at 4 or 5 in the morning. And I said, I just don't know if I can go on. I mean, we know toothbrush, no anything. And there was a rap at the door, and there's Uchenna. And Kelly, actually. And Uchenna had probably about a 40-pound backpack, much more than he needed, really.
Ours were about 18 pounds, so you could imagine.
Wow.
And so he came in, and Kelly had this little yellow shopping bag, and she had two T-shirts for me, but that was all. And a little airline toothbrush, about the size, 2 inches. And... of course, Uchenna gave Meredith a whole lot of clothes, so that worked out fine because the next morning I wore his shorts, and I mean, I dolled myself up in things, wore Meredith's pants that he had because he got an extra pair of pants, and we managed just fine. But I'm telling you, that really lifted our spirits, and we decided to give it a whirl the next day.
Wow.
The other thing that may be surprising is that once we were freed of that backpack, we felt like we were born again. I mean, to run without a backpack was a real advantage to us because we were always at the back of the pack, and even without the backpack, we were. But it was a lot easier to get from point A to point B on your feet.
Which is a big factor in the Amazing Race.
It sure is.
It was easier, but I would have still preferred to have my clean underwear. Plus, we had our passports in that little shopping bag. And you know that it's so dangerous. We were told you lose your passport and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were so careful. I was trying to hold on to that little yellow shopping bag. So when we were on our way to India, I collected $12 and bought that little backpack, and I felt like I was in heaven.
I bet you did. Let me break again. We'll come back and talk some more with Gretchen and Meredith Smith from The Amazing Race 7. The Amazing Race 8, a family edition, is coming up next month on CBS. This is The Paul Harris Show on KMOX. In the studio with two of the people who made The Amazing Race 7, such a terrific show this spring. They will not be appearing on Battle of the Network Reality Stars, however. One time around, I think, was enough for Meredith and Gretchen Smith, who are here in the KMOX studios this afternoon. And Gretchen just told me during the break that when Meredith was pushing the giant elephant with her on top of it, the teak elephant, not a real one, but it rolled over your foot and broke 3 bones. That, in addition to you nearly cracking your skull open.
Oh, we were a mess, weren't we?
And I recall when you were climbing the wall, which they like to do this. They like to put people in not only physical danger, but also physical effort beyond what they think people can do. And there's a wall, was it in India?
It was in Turkey, actually,
Turkey.
And it was a roadblock, and people had wondered why I was doing it rather than Meredith. Each of us had to do 6 roadblocks, and he had already done 5, so I figured it was my time to do it no matter what happened.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to break in there and say that we had had an email come to us right after that because we had put Gretchen in that precarious position, and one of the fans said, Meredith, you're such a wuss. You sent your old lady up that castle wall.
Yeah.
No wonder your father named you after a girl.
No.
Yeah.
Not fair at all.
Not fair. And,
but you were in pain going up that wall.
I was in pain. I have mild osteoarthritis in my knees and my neck, and I usually take Tylenol arthritis pain medicine,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have it because it was removed from my backpack, and I had been taking it to keep the stiffness away, and it works fast, and it never irritated my stomach. It was something that I always traveled with,
mm-hmm.
and I did not have it, and that's why I made that comment, not knowing that it would be recorded that my knees were killing me as mm-hmm. I was climbing up.
And you're not allowed to have any over-the-counter medication with you?
Yes, you could, but you see, everything was taken from us in our backpack.
Happened after that.
They gave us the medicines for malaria and all the ones,
altitude sickness
mm-hmm. and things that they had given, but mm-hmm. the rest went away in our backpacks.
You talked about the strategy of who was going to do a roadblock and who was going to do this task or whatever it is. Did you have times before you went on the race where you sat down and you said, here's our strategy? Did you work that out ahead of time?
Yes, we did, to the extent that we both agreed that if one of us screwed up and we were eliminated, that we would never blame the other. Or be blamed.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was that we vowed we would come back with our dignity and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't going to embarrass ourselves or our family. So that was the only real hard and fast strategy.
But you didn't say if there's a roadblock that involves mm-hmm. eating some incredibly spicy soup, mm-hmm. you're going to do it or that sort of thing.
No, we didn't do that. And so often you really didn't know when you chose what to do exactly what was involved in it until you were involved actually doing it. So we didn't. Everything was a surprise. Where you were going to go, what you were going to do, how you were going to get there, the whole bit. We just played on instinct. Sometimes our instinct was good and sometimes it was very, very bad.
What's the worst place they sent you?
Well, I would say the worst place, not in terms of the physical place, but London was tough on us.
Really?
And it was because in losing all of our clothes, we had nothing warm to wear, and it was 32 degrees at that time.
Holy cow.
We chose the wrong task. We chose the boats, and the reason why it was that my foot was broken, and I got the idea that I'd be rowing a boat so I could be sitting in this challenge.
And so, instead you were stacking boats.
Instead we were not only stacking boats, but dragging them 500 yards and then taking the cart back 500 yards.
Right.
And so that was probably our worst experience, although we both have been to London before. We love
London.
Because, as I mentioned, I've had Phil Kogan, the host of the show, on many times, and he says they like to send teams to India because it is the greatest assault on the senses of any place that he's ever been.
You know, it really is. It's so different than, I mean, you just really appreciate everything we have here in our country so much more when you see those poor souls just trying to make it from day to day. But we had, out of luck now, we had one of the most wonderful experiences when we were so low after my taking a couple hours to do those metal boxes, to have all those wonderful people cheer and applaud. Mm-hmm. And it just lifted our spirits so much. And, India was very, very different, but a wonderful experience for us.
And the people in India absolutely love movies. I mean, a movie is to them like
Bollywood, they call it.
Yeah, Bollywood. But when they saw the sound man and the cameraman with us, they followed us around everywhere we went.
Yeah, it's like a magnet to
them.
Yeah. And did they know what The Amazing Race was?
No.
No, I don't think
so. Were never allowed to mention the words either.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we were begging or whatever, we just said it's a documentary race around the world. A lot of people, of course, knew Rob and Amber. A lot of people, they get the show even in Africa. So I'm sure a lot of people suspected that, but we were never allowed to say it.
What are you doing now?
Oh.
Well, right now we're doing this meeting with television and radio, and we're doing some public speaking, which we like very much, and we seem to have found a little niche for ourselves. We've had a terrific reception to our talks, So that's about it.
And people can find out more about what they're up to, and maybe you want to hire them to come and talk about the Amazing Race to your place. MeredithandGretchen.com is the website.
That's right.
And before I let you go, I've only got 10 seconds, so give me a quick yes or no each. Would you have shaved your head?
Yes.
It wouldn't have been much trouble with me.
That's what I kept thinking. My wife said, "My hair." I said, "I don't have any." It wouldn't have been a problem. But Joyce was a trooper there, wasn't she?
She sure was. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yep. Meredith and Gretchen, thanks for coming in today. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for having us. We enjoyed it.
Meredith and Gretchen Smith from The Amazing Race 7. Number 8 starts next month. It's a family edition, and we'll probably talk to Phil Kogan as that gets rolling in the month of September. This is the Paul Harris Show, News Talk 1120 KMOX.